Do you like pumpkins? Do you like bottles and jars? What if I told you that you could combine those? At 31pumpkinlane.com, you'll find a variety of pumpkin jars, bottles, pendants, and other polymer clay creations crafted by Marissa Phillips. So visit 31pumpkinlane.com to grab something in time for Halloween. The price will be right.
Y'all heard?
1, 2, 3. Hey,
everybody.
This is Y'all Heard. A podcast where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
Are not related.
And this is a podcast that lurks in your podcast feed and begs you to pay it some attention. A show where two glowing red hosts alarm you in the night, but aren't so scary when you get close. A show where topics leave footprints in your memories so that you can regale your loved ones at parties or at the workplace cooler where all of your loved ones are.
Oh, right.
It's a show that two kindly creeps are glad that you're listening to.
In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know.
How are you, Marissa?
I'm whatever, but I'm just going to tell you guys something. I'm an awkward person, duh. And I have social anxiety. And I'm one of those people, like, if I do something weird, it'll repeat in my mind. I was at a wedding with a lot of family the other day. And some of the family I don't really know that well. Like, I have these little cousins that I've seen, like, a few times every year throughout my life. And, but they're very friendly. And like, I would think like, they're much younger than me. I would almost think that they would be like, not even bother because I barely see them and they're like young and I don't know, but they're like super friendly. Anyway, I was tipsy. I still think I would have done this anyway, but anyway, I was tipsy and it was time to say goodbye. And Puerto Rican people have to kiss everyone goodbye. Have to. It's mandatory. So this one cousin goes to say goodbye and I say, oh, bye. He's like, oh, are you going to be at the after party? I was like, yeah. And he goes to kiss me. Or he like kind of leans in. But I find it an awkward angle. So I move my face to the other side of his face. Not to dodge it, but to kiss him on that cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Which there have been times before in family you both go the wrong way. You almost like kiss each other the wrong way. So then you like pivot. So in my mind, it was a clear pivot. To kiss that side of the cheek. I don't know whether I did it right or not, but I was going to kiss him on the other cheek. I think he thought I was pivoting from his kiss. So then he walked right by me and started talking to my husband. So then I didn't immediately clock that he probably thought that's what I was doing. So I was like, wow, that's embarrassing. Like my cousin just like pivoted by my kiss. But I was like, let me just pretend it didn't happen. And then I realized my mother's right there, staring, and the kid's directly behind me now.
Boy, she's like a hawk.
Yep. And she's staring. My father's also staring. So it's like making it worse. And my mother goes, don't you know who he is? And I was like, what? Like, I think she, I don't know. And I go, yeah. And then I kind of shake my head, like, don't talk about it. And she goes, that's your cousin. And I was like, let it go. And she goes, you know that's your cousin. Like, I don't know if she thought I was pivoting. All I know is way too many people all passed, like, witnessed me awkwardly, us both getting our kisses shut down. And then my mother kept bringing more attention to it. And then I just was like, let it go. Then I saw the cousin again later, and our eyes met once, and then we both turned away, and it was weird, and then it was time to go, and I was like, he probably thought I was weird, I'll just go, and then he went to kiss me again, and we kissed each other normally, but then I try to make it clear that I'm friendly in case he thought I was rude before, and I was like, you know, great to see you, it's a shame we don't see each other very often, and he didn't respond. And I was like, I'm just going to kill myself. That's the end of my story.
Very nice.
Yep. That's going to stay in my mind forever.
Yeah, I don't know any family members that I kiss.
Also, can I just say, I woke up the day after the wedding and half of my family was in the hotel room next to me, which was insane, by the way. It sounded like a party. I woke up to my loud ass family talking to each other in the room next to my room. So I go to say hi to them and I have to kiss everyone in the room. But then I only stayed for like 7 minutes. And so I was like, do I have to kiss everyone again? Is there like a time frame where like I already covered you? But I think I jokingly was like, so do I kiss everyone again? And they were like, yes. We thankful you're not Puerto Rican.
This is a real time drain.
Yeah. And they were like all over the room. Some of them were laying down, some were standing up, some were sitting. It was like a whole to do. It was really a whole to do. Anyway, let's move on.
Speaking of awkward interactions, this week I'm talking about a cryptid on the show, Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in my notes I have this question, like related to this question, so I thought I would ask you. If you were out wandering alone, name a cryptid that you would not mind running into, or even maybe look forward to running into.
The chupacabra, speaking of Puerto Ricans, because I heard he only sucks goats.
That's a good point.
Yep. And it would be cool because, like, we'd bond over being Puerto Rican. And in my mind, I could be wrong, but in all the depictions of the chupacabra, I don't think it's that big.
Do you have to kiss the chupacabra on the cheek? Or no, because it's not family?
Ugh. No, it's not family. I don't kiss okay. other Puerto Ricans just because they're Puerto Rican. My grandma would be really excited to hear about it.
Good.
Because I think she believes in it. So, yep. How about you?
For today, for this week, whatever, I'm picking a Thunderbird. Because they're so freaking big.
Is it like a phoenix?
I think that I would, maybe that's one of them, but it's like a big bird with like 15 to 30 foot wingspan.
Huh. Okay. Is it like fiery?
No.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
It's just a gigantic bird.
Okay. Huh.
And I think like it would be kind of fun to just be walking along and be like, oh, that's a big bird.
I mean, that sounds terrifying.
And then the bird's going to open its wings and I'm going to go, ah! And then it's going to fly away. Because hopefully it's not, like, I think that, I can't say for sure, but I think I'm big enough that the bird won't try to pick me up and eat me.
I mean, you wish.
Yeah.
I kept running into swans in Ireland and I was scared as fuck. Aaron were really close to one, and I was like, get away. Their wings are really strong. They could kill you.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Didn't we talk about that on a show?
I don't think so.
Who the fuck? I thought a swan killed the person, or I made it up.
Oh, you know, that sounds that sounds more familiar.
Yeah, a man killed a man. A swan killed a man. Let me see.
I'm sure that many men have killed swans too.
No, but I mean, like, I think I heard that they're like, their wings, like, are kind of strong and it kept, like, attacking the man and he drowned.
Okay.
So, are we sure we didn't talk about them here?
Razor sharp wings.
Let me see. Swans are big birds, weigh over 30 pounds, imposing 8-foot wingspan. That's a fucking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, I'd be afraid. That's my point. Of a Thunderbird.
Well, I don't know if you would be afraid of him, but today we're going to talk about the Mothman.
We didn't do that already?
No.
Okay.
And I don't know if the way you just said that, like, I don't know if I was getting a little bit of something off of that, that maybe you feel the same way that I do. Like, I haven't covered the Mothman because I feel like it's kind of like a cringy type cryptid. Like, it feels like a lot of people love the Mothman, but it's like there's not really much story to it.
Yeah, and I, for some reason, I feel like I've heard people talk about the Mothman a lot, too, also.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not super into the Mothman.
Well, you're going to be today.
Okay.
After today.
Have you ever seen the Mothman? Oh, I said moth like it had a W, A and a W. Have you ever seen the Mothman Prophecies?
Yes.
Is it good?
It was a while ago. I don't really remember most of it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But I genuinely don't recall seeing a Mothman in it.
Oh, okay.
So I have a couple of complaints along the way, too.
Okay.
But it seems like cryptid lovers love the Mothman, but like I said, I feel like he's got a very thin history, and the periphery around the Mothman is often contains things that I think a lot of people would find more interesting than a Mothman itself. Like, there's a lot of talk about UFOs, there's a lot of talk about Men in Black, there's a lot of talk about cryptic phone calls in the middle of the night, stuff like that. So all that stuff sounds interesting, and it's just like, oh, and then there's a Mothman over here just kind of hanging out.
Okay.
In fact, I read the book, I skimmed real hard the book, The Mothman Prophecies, which the movie was, I guess, kind of based on. And they don't mention the Mothman by name until chapter 6 of 17. So the book really is not about the Mothman per se.
Okay.
But I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, like, if you're going to write a book called The Mothman Prophecies, you probably think you'd get that at least in chapter one, maybe like a tease of some sort. And in order to do that, the author, John Keel, tells a story about a mysterious figure outside of a house at night, and it's him.
So wait, I'm sorry, is the story about the monster in us all?
No, he's just like building a sort of like ominous kind of set up, and then he's like, I was the man knocking on the door that night.
Yeah,
I think so. According to his obituary, John Keel was, quote, one of ufology's most widely read and influential authors.
Okay.
And most of that comes from this book, The Mothman Prophecies. So all this business takes place around Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which is actually closer to Ohio than it would be like to D.C. It's also kind of close to Kentucky. So Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, they're all kind of like near each other. And I say that because some of the sightings are in Kentucky, some of them are in Ohio, that sort of thing. But primarily, sightings of the Mothman came from the Clifton F. McClintic, which I think is just like, you could name something of after somebody. Why are you going to pick Clinton McClintic?
Yeah.
The Clifton F. McClintic Wildlife Management Area. But when there was war going on, I think it was World War II. Yeah, it was World War II. They shut down part of this wildlife area, and they started to build explosives. So they built these explosives. This is, by the way, 7 miles outside of town. And it's part of this animal preserve and bird sanctuary. Bird sanctuary.
Okay.
So they ripped it up, and they have a bunch of underground tunnels, and then they have these they have, it says, 100 igloos, which are, you know, like, they're kind of like, I guess they're kind of igloo-shaped, where that's where you would put the explosives. They're made out of concrete. They're kind of domes. They have these heavy doors, that sort of thing. So if anything went off, it would kind of be contained, you know.
I don't think I'd ever call something an igloo that's not made of ice, but sure.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when I read further and it says dome, I'm like, well, why didn't we just say dome from the start?
Yeah.
So here are some excerpts from the Mothman prophecies that created the legend of the Mothman. The first one is from 100 miles outside of town. So when people start talking about the Mothman being related to Point Pleasant, I'm like, yeah, but as far as 100 miles away, like, that's pretty far.
Yeah.
So it was about 10:30 that night, and suddenly the TV blanked out, says Newell Partridge of Salem, West Virginia. Outside on the porch, Bandit began wailing, so I picked up a flashlight and went outside to investigate. Bandit's a dog. The dog. Bandit, my 3-year-old son. The dog was sitting on the end of the porch and howling toward the hay barn at the bottom of the hill. I shined a flashlight in that direction and picked up 2 red circles, or eyes.
What?
Which looked like bicycle reflectors. It's a good length of a football field from the house to the hay barn. Probably 150 yards, he says.
Just say barn. This so, person doesn't understand, like, too many words makes things weird.
So the eyes showed up huge for the distance that it was away. So Bandit sees these eyes, snarls, runs towards them. But a wave of fear kept a Newell Partridge from following the dog. So he went inside, fell asleep with a loaded gun next to him. And in the morning, he went out to look for Bandit, who had, quote, simply vanished into thin air.
Okay.
Now this is... Remember, a dog vanished, okay? Just vaguely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next one is the famous one. And this is, they call this area where they were making the explosives, they call it the TNT site.
Okay.
So at 11:30 p.m. on the night of November 15th, 1966, 2 young couples from Point Pleasant, Mr. and Mrs. I guess they ended up getting married? What is this? Mr. and Mrs. Roger Scarberry and Mr. and Mrs. Steve Mallett were driving through the TNT area in the Scarberry's 57 Chevy. They all looked into the blackness and saw 2 bright red circles. They were about...
Oh, God. I was like, if he said circles, also known as eyes or whatever the fuck he said, I was going to be insane.
They were about 2 inches in diameter and 6 inches apart. This is drastically different than the ones that were like the size of dinner plates a football field away. It was shaped like a man, they said, but bigger. That's what the eyes are attached to. Maybe 6.5 to 7 feet tall.
That's not that big. There are men that are that big.
I think I was on the elevator with a 7-foot tall woman today.
Really?
But, yeah. Oh. And it had big wings folded against its back. How the fuck do you know that?
Yeah.
If they're folded against the back. But it was those eyes that got us, Linda declared. It had 2 big eyes like automobile reflectors. Let's get out of here, Steve yelled. Roger stepped on the gas and they shot through the gates and spun onto the exit road. Suddenly, they saw it, or another one like it, standing on a small hill near the road. As they hurtled past it, it spread its bat-like wings and took off straight up into the air, which is apparently impossible.
I also...
straight up into the air.
Also, almost every account I hear about the Mothman looks nothing like a moth. I just want that to be known.
Yeah. We were doing 100 miles per hour, Roger said, and that bird kept right up with us.
It wasn't
even flapping its wings.
Wait, did we change? Are we talking about the Thunderbird?
No, he said he's calling the Mothman a bird.
Okay.
I could hear
but
it
I
making...
But I thought you had the body of a man. Get your fucking factory, bitch.
I could hear it making a sound, Mrs. Mallett added. It squeaked like a big mouse.
Ugh, whatever.
And while it's true that Marissa and I don't love interacting with mice.
Nope.
I don't know if that's the scariest sound I've ever heard.
No, it's not. Also, If you saw a man with wings, would you call it a bird? I'm very fixated on saying that a body of a man now referring to it as a bird.
That, well, I think, okay, so there's a couple of things here, right? You're actually coming from an area that is very, very close to or part of a bird sanctuary, first of all.
Okay.
Secondly, I mean, maybe bird man.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just convinced himself. Maybe he's convinced himself that it was a bird.
I bet he did.
Anyway, it followed us to the city limits, Roger went on. Funny thing, we noticed a dead dog by the side of the road there.
That is funny.
A big dog. But when we came back a few minutes later, the dog was gone. So the Mothman must have eaten it. That's the conclusion.
A couple minutes later, he said?
Yeah, dog. Mothman eats a dog fast.
Okay, sure.
So that's the event that was covered by local journalist Mrs. Mary Heyer, who sent the story out on the AP wire, which, of course, sent it across the country, and then people published it in papers, and everybody was like, oh, my God, there's a Mothman. Some anonymous copy editor along the way gave it the name Mothman, spun off from the Batman comic character, who was then the subject of a popular television series at the time, of course, right? Adam West Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the Mothman got his name. I guess because Batman was taken.
But, yeah, nothing you told me was moth-related.
Yeah. Although at the Mothman Festival, people walk around with lampshades on their head, and I was like, what the hell is going – oh, moths.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, these people are stupid.
Did you take a look at what the Batman guy looked like?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I did say what day that was. That was on November 15th, on November 17th in the same year. So a couple days later. That afternoon, a 17-year-old boy was riding down Route 7, not far from Mrs. Gross's home in Cheshire, Ohio. We'll get to her a little bit later, I think. So this is basically like the same spot on the map, but on the other side of a river. So he said that a huge bird suddenly dove at his car and pursued him for a mile or so. Now, it's not common for birds to pursue cars, but again, this is kind of, you know. On the 18th, two firemen from Point Pleasant were in the TNT area when they encountered a giant bird with big red eyes.
Holy shit. If every single thing you tell me is a bird, I'm out of here.
This guy, like one of the firemen was like, it was definitely a bird, okay? I'm not saying that this is a bird man of any sort. It's definitely a bird, but never seen a bird that big in my life.
Like, all I gotta say is, okay, fine. You explain why the one dude – well, no. You explain that the one dude called it the Mothman. I don't know why. But we can change things.
Yeah, we can.
We don't need to keep it as the first name someone said.
First idea, best idea.
Like, if it turned out to be a monkey, would we still call it the Mothman? Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Yeah, we would actually call all monkeys Mothmen.
Yeah, I assume so.
A couple days later after that, five teenagers are driving along Campbell's Creek. I don't know where it is either, guys. At night, and their headlights bounced off of a man-sized, bird-like creature standing beside a rock quarry. It turned and scurried into the woods. Nobody believes us because we're teenagers, Brenda Jones of Point Lick complained. But it was real scary.
Birds don't really scurry, but okay.
Exactly. But men do.
Men and mice.
On the same day, an elderly businessman in Point Pleasant found the Mothman standing in his front yard. He stepped outside to see why his dog was barking and confronted a 6 or 7 foot tall gray apparition with flaming eyes. He stood transfixed for several minutes, unaware of the passage of time, and then suddenly the creature flew off.
This is just I digress, but
I don't trust anybody who calls themselves a businessman.
Yeah, same. I just gotta say that, like, there's a lot of, like, Bigfoot porno fanfic out there. I wonder how much Mothman porno fanfic there is.
I would guess as much or more.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it seems like the people who like the Mothman are perverts.
Yeah.
On November 24th, four people, two adults and two children, were driving past the TNT area when they saw a giant flying creature with red eyes. At 7:15 a.m. on Monday, November 25th, a young shoe salesman named Thomas Urey was driving just north of the TNT area.
What year was this? That someone...
66.
Okay, people can be a shoe salesman in 66.
When he noticed a tall, gray, man-like figure standing in a field by the road, suddenly it spread a pair of wings, and it took off straight up like a helicopter. It veered over my convertible and began going in circles, three telephone poles high.
Guys, that sounds silly. I've never heard a bird described as a helicopter, so I immediately think he opens his wings and they start turning like a propeller, and that looks real silly.
I also think it's kind of funny to describe an aerial distance in telephone poles.
Everything about all of these stories is the dumbest, old-timiest shit I've ever heard in my life.
Altogether, more than 100 old-timey idiots.
Yeah, really.
100 adults would see the winged impossibility from 66 to 67.
Let's just note that there are about 1,000 teenagers, but no one believed them.
No.
So they don't
Why
put
would
them
you?
In the stats.
Those who got close to look all had the same basic points. Like, they all agreed on the same things. It was gray, apparently featherless, which is a surprise.
to Ooh, hear at ew, this that point. Sounds gross. A gray naked bird?
As large or larger than a big man.
So just
which is just a wonderful description.
Yeah, ew.
It had a widespread, I'm sorry, I don't know why. Oh, because it says wingspread, not wingspan, not widespread.
Okay.
It had a wingspread of about 10 feet, took off straight up like a helicopter, did not flap its wings in flight. Its face, however, was a puzzle. No one could describe it until Mrs. Ruth Foster, who was one of the very few witnesses who claimed to see the face on the creature at her home outside of Charleston, West Virginia. It was tall with big red eyes. That popped out of its face, she says. And this is the description that we get of the face. It had a funny little face. I didn't see any beak. All I saw were those big red poppy eyes. Poppy like the flower. I screamed and ran back into the house.
Okay.
At 5 p.m. on January 11th, 1967... So we have made it into a new year. Mrs. Mabel McDaniel was walking when she saw an object soaring down the road. I thought it was an airplane. Then I realized how it was flying much too low to be an airplane, she said. She froze in her tracks, scarcely believing her eyes. I thought I could see two legs, like men's legs, hanging down from it. It's about time, right? It circled low and then flew off. She could not see any head or neck. The wings were motionless, and it was completely silent. In a way, it sounded almost like a hang glider. But, Marissa, hang gliding was almost a completely unknown sport in 1967.
Okay.
So, now we got to jump ahead a year to December 15th, 1967. It is said that there were sightings of the Mothman nearby prior to the Silver Bridge collapse. Now, I don't know if I get into it, so I'll save it for after this, but Marcella Bennett said that her uncle had been one of the people to witness the Mothman at the Silver Bridge on December 15th, 1967. He lived in an apartment on Main Street in downtown Point
Mothman?
Pleasant.
Oh. Yeah.
No, her uncle.
Okay.
I saw him in an apartment picking up his newspaper.
Sorry.
He lived in an apartment on Main Street in downtown Point Pleasant overlooking the Ohio River and right next to the Silver Bridge. He told me that before the bridge fell, that he saw what I saw. Oh, because she had a sighting too. A man that looked like a bird and that it went over the bridge. Okay.
Okay.
Now this is the only, like, a lot of people say, oh yeah, the Mothman was at the Silver Bridge collapse, which, big deal. I legitimately mean it was a big deal.
But I mean, like, him just passing by does not mean he did it.
No, it doesn't. But a lot of people say, oh, people saw the Mothman at the bridge collapse. But this is the only recorded witness that I could find. And the source that I found it from is called Paranthropology, a journal of anthropological approaches to the paranormal.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's super reliable.
Yeah, okay.
So there's this bridge that connects West Virginia and Ohio. It's called the Silver, what did I call it? Yeah,
Silver,
that's what
I don't know.
It's such a simple name that I sometimes think I'm missing a word, but it's just called Silver Bridge.
Okay.
So Silver Bridge was basically falling apart and nobody gave a shit. And so eventually one day the bridge broke during like a high traffic period and lots of people and their cars just fell into the Ohio River and died.
I'm assuming whoever was in charge of upkeep on the bridge wants, like, they helped spread the Mothman narrative, obviously.
So many people believe that the Mothman hung around Point Pleasant for approximately 2 years because he was warning everyone that the bridge would collapse. He was a living omen in some way, clearly not very good at communicating.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how would you make the connection between that and a bridge?
So, yeah. Like, okay. Oh, that's a good question. Because people didn't have any more sightings of the Mothman after the bridge collapsed. You might say that maybe some more important things came to the news after the bridge collapsed. Like, maybe the news is now writing about the bridge collapse, an investigation of the bridge collapse, what happened, who are these people, rather than reporting on Mothman sightings.
Oh, yeah, valid.
The belief is that he was a harbinger of some kind. But I will say this, for all the time that I just spent with you, Marissa, listing all of these sightings and everything, that's not why I'm covering the Mothman today, but it is enough to pad the show so that we have a full one.
Okay.
Mothman sightings actually did continue after the bridge collapse, but the Mothman didn't seem pleased with the views of Point Pleasant any longer. Instead, he moved to Chicago for a bit. He spent some time in Michigan, the Michigan Mothman, the Chicago Mothman. Some say that he kind of vacationed in Arizona/New Mexico, but that's way outside of the, like, climate region he seems most comfortable in.
Okay.
He's been seen in Pennsylvania too, but I don't know if that was just in transit to somewhere else, like somebody just saw him between West Virginia and Michigan or something like that.
Okay.
Regardless of how active the Mothman truly is, he's been very active in some circles. And I guess that it's not fair for me to call the Mothman a him, because I guess maybe man in this word is like man and woman. You know, it's just like part of the word. So it's not Mothman, it's Mothman.
Yeah.
And it feels bad calling it an it because, you know, why? Like, I don't know. It just feels like there's more to it, you know. If it is human-like in any way, I feel like it seems very detached.
Yeah, okay.
But it is considered a creature, so I guess it would be appropriate. But
make up your mind, bro.
You have to understand that pronouns do matter quite a bit in a world where LGBTQ plus communities are embracing – are embracing the Mothman as a queer icon.
Oh, okay.
One wild article makes the connection that Mothman was a harbinger of doom for the Silver Bridge, debatable, just as trans people are harbingers of doom for a conservative person's way of life.
What is happening?
But more relatable associations are those that say that the Mothman is an outcast and seen as an other, just as some LGBTQ plus people may feel at times. The monster is defined by abnormality. It is scary because it does not fit into the codes of society. I knew this was going to happen. I don't remember where I based that from.
Okay.
In this way, though, the Mothman isn't alone because there are lots of abnormal cryptids and just as many known creatures that are also kind of abnormal, you know, like weird little animals.
Mm-hmm.
Still, a lot of products out there have queer cryptids on them, like the bumper sticker that says, "I met Mothman and he's gay."
Okay.
Queer writer John Paul Brammer, in pretty much the leading article of this movement, posted, of course, on BuzzFeed, says,
"Yeah,
we in the Mothman fandom have come to think of him, okay, it's a him, as a mascot for the absurd, the misunderstood, and the queer. As the world around us seems to descend into political and environmental chaos, Mothman and his motley crew of monsters, who have become queer icons."
Yeah, much- one, who is that? Two, I don't know if I'd want something that was equated with being a queer icon and with the absurd.
That's
okay.
I think I'm going to touch on that a little bit.
Okay.
He says they have become queer icons, much to some people's confusion. Okay. But their rise makes perfect sense when we look at our histories. Where I'm from, a small town in the middle of nowhere, a gay man was the boogeyman, as is, I suppose, the Mothman in some way.
Mm.
As crass as it may sound, though, the Mothman statue in Point Pleasant is also pretty queer.
Okay.
In the way that these specific people are using the term, I should say. Back in the 2000s, Charles Humphreys of the Main Street Point Pleasant, this is a group that is basically in charge of, like, tourism of the area.
Okay.
He had this idea that they put up a Mothman statue. I went to see Bob Roach because I knew that he could make it, and he'd been a buddy of mine for years, Humphreys said, demonstrating, like, political connections are required in order to succeed in the art world.
Yeah.
At first, he wasn't too interested in a creature, but after I talked to him a little, he agreed to make it. He could do about anything, especially with metal, and built that with stainless steel, the statue. It'll be here 1,000 years unless someone throws it in the river. And even then, it'll be there another 1,000 years down there. I don't know why the clock resets once it's in water, but that's just a mystery we don't need to know about. Humphrey said, that basically, like, it was built to last, so to speak. And speaking of things that won't quit, like the statue itself, the statue's butt has also become a legend of its own sort, with people posing for pictures by it and leaving quarters in the Mothman's butt crack.
Okay.
But extending this thought of linking cryptids to the queer community isn't without problems. Sci-fi and monster scholar, don't ask.
Okay.
Christine Priebus says, countless people have written about how this queer coding is problematic, how harmful a message it is to send to queer children, that queer people are always the bad guys. There's this historical context that monsters have always been used to delineate between what is and what is not socially acceptable. So if I'm growing up and I think that the Mothman is a monster, and I think I might be queer, I might think I'm a monster.
Mm-hmm, I can get that.
And it kind of makes sense to me. It's like a logical jump that I could make.
Yeah.
If I had to choose between encountering the Mothman or another queer icon like Lady Gaga, I would probably pick the Mothman. Because I think Lady Gaga is kind of scary in different ways.
I like Lady Gaga, but fair.
But again, by drawing that comparison, I am equating scary and queer.
Mm-hmm.
For every shiny winged cryptid with a donk that is accused of maliciously chasing teens, there are also some less aggressive cryptids, like a lovely
donk?
A butt.
Oh, I thought that. Okay.
Like there's the Loveland Frogman or a Fresno Nightcrawler. And that sort of thing is always concerning, like to me anyway, when it comes to things being called gay or queer. Because it feels like, to me, it implies that there's only one way to be gay or queer,
mm-hmm.
or straight, or alive, or anything for that matter, and we mm-hmm. know that that's not true.
Yeah.
So I think you could say that the Fresno Nightcrawler is also a gay icon, because maybe you're just a friendly person that floats around, you know? You don't have to be aggressively trying to capture children, I don't know.
You okay?
There's an article at Queer Kentucky. I don't know if it's a print publication, but it's a website.
Okay.
And it's called Let's Discuss the Over-Sexualization of an Appalachian Cryptid, Mothman. And the article not once talks about the over-sexualization of the Mothman. But I suppose it's unfair to assume that it would happen. I guess I'm paraphrasing what I have here. Like, I feel like it's fair to assume that any character is eventually going to be over-sexualized in some way. Like, if you go to Comic-Con, I'm sure that at some point you're going to see somebody, like, in a skimpy outfit for a character that you never expected to look that way.
Yeah, wasn't there, what is it called, Rule 52 or something? I don't
34?
Know.
34?
Yeah, where there's, like...
Or 43.
Something like that. That there's porn for everything in existence.
Yeah. So, yeah, it should be a surprise that cryptids are over-sexualized at some point. Now, yeah. Point Pleasant as a town has about 5,000 residents. But when they run the Mothman Festival, 20,000 additional tourists come to town. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's the people who have popped up on Mothman sexy fanfic.
Yes. Writing and reading and just jizzing everywhere. In the same NPR piece, though, that gives that statistic of 20,000 people coming through, they also say that millions of people came through town for the festival, so I'm not really sure which number is right.
I don't think I believe millions.
So not only does that attract cosplayers and fans, but it hosts live music, there's food trucks, there's guest speakers about the Mothman, there's a Mothman 5K, TNT site bus tours and face painting. It all sounds very small town, and that's fine, right? And here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion that I started and am realizing now I didn't finish because I just thought I finished all this.
Okay.
So help me out if you can, Marissa.
Okay.
One visitor from Ohio told NPR, does it really matter if there was ever an actual Mothman? No. Because everybody believes that something happened, and it's a giant story.
I don't like that.
I could see, like...
You can't just make your own reality.
Right, but I could see somebody who, like, doesn't like religion saying, I mean, it's just the same as Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, people believe that something happened, so isn't that enough?
Well, I would say people believe it. They're not harming anyone. Let them believe it. But I don't know that I would think, like, that in itself. Wait, what is that? Well, give me that quote again.
Does it really matter if there was an actual Mothman? No, because everybody believes that something happened and it's a giant story. It's a terrible quote.
No, I think that's a problem because that's why people do terrible things today because they decide that their news is the real news. And if they all decide it's true, that makes it real, doesn't it? So I think it's a very problematic statement.
And I think that if you're going to, again, I feel like that's one of the problem areas when you try to relate the Mothman to being queer or something like that, you know? Does it matter if the Mothman is queer? Like, he didn't even exist, you know? Yeah. This thing that you think you feel inside yourself doesn't even exist. You're just trying to get some attention or something like that. So, I don't know. I don't think that we love that conclusion on the Mothman. But, again, in conclusion, I feel like the Mothman's history is a little thin. Because they talk about the Mothman in chapter 6 of the book. They hit on him a couple of times through 7 and 8. And then the rest of the book is not about a Mothman. It's about aliens and visitations and UFOs and men in black.
Wait,
and it's just
they say
like,
the Mothman's an alien?
Some people think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just like, give me more Mothman. It's called the Mothman Prophecies. Stop it with this other bullshit.
Okay.
So, as you lead into the Halloween season, everybody, I'd cross this one off your list of costumes.
Yeah. I kind of wish it really looked like a moth.
Yeah. There are some depictions that make it look mothy.
That'd be gross.
Yeah.
You gave me, even if it was a giant ladybug, that'd be gross.
Yeah. Whew. Ladybug.
What? Why'd you say that?
Mothman. Ladybug.
Oh, yeah, got it.
It was big and igloo shaped. And I swear it had boobs.
It's stupid.
It's time for blood. It's time for blood. It's time for blood. It's time for blood.
So, Marissa, at this juncture of the show, do you have anything that you'd like to plug for the gang listening?
I'm going to plug the new Tim, I think his last name is Robinson show, The Chair Company on HBO. If you know Tim Robinson, his shit is all absurd and really weird. If you don't, it's a show about a person who, during a very important presentation in his life, sits on a chair and the chair breaks, and somehow that causes him to both spiral, unravel, but also start unlocking, like, a deep, secretive world. But I'm going to plug it now in the midst of Halloween time. Because if you get anxious or, like, get secondhand embarrassment or don't like seeing conflict, it's, like, terrifying. Like, I had to look. I had to multitask because I was upset because it was too awkward of a show. But it's a fantastic show. But it's really intense.
That's how I felt watching Friendship.
Yeah, but I
was like, this hurts too much to watch because it feels too close to reality.
Friendship hurt, but also I thought it was brilliant.
Mm.
Oops. What was I going to say? What was I gonna say? Oh, also, have you watched The Shining, listeners? If so, call us at 570-POD-WAD-WAD and let me know what you think. I said, let's watch The Shining this weekend with my family. My dad's like, yeah, that's a great movie. And then afterwards, my dad's like, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought. And my husband, Aaron, was like, what the fuck was that? He's like, this is horrible. He's like, is this one of the worst movies? Like, because I told him it made, like, a lot of movie lists. He's like terrible ones? And I was like, what are you talking about? But then at the end, he's like, oh, it really picked up. He's like, but it was, like, stupid at the start. And I was like, no, you need the beginning so that you care at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, I have watched 3 Stephen King things this holiday season. They're all way too fucking long. Like,
it's true. I watched one today, and when it started, it said it was 2 hours, and I'm like, how in the hell is this premise going to be 2 hours long?
Wow, that's the shortest. I watched The Shining and Dr. Sleep. They were each 2.5 hours, and I watched Storm of the Century miniseries from the 90s, and every episode was 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
What's only 2 hours?
The Dark Half.
Oh, never even heard of it. Okay.
It's a movie following the public's realization that Thad Beaumont and George Stark are both one and the same, basically they stage a mock funeral only for a series of gruesome murders to begin occurring, as in his books. So basically this guy has a pen name and he writes these like trashy books on the side, but he's also a professor and he writes intellectual books on the other side. And it turns out he's got, like, a split personality thing going on. And,
oh, okay.
You know.
Whatever.
I would strongly recommend against The Shining remake that they did.
Oh,
which
I didn't
is hopefully hopefully not available streaming anywhere.
Whoa, I didn't know that. Is anyone famous in it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm blanking on his name, though.
I heard that the Treehouse of Horror take on The Shining called The Shining is one of the best Treehouse of Horrors of all time. So maybe you all should watch that.
Steven Weber is in it, if you know who Steven Weber is. But if you don't know who Steven Weber is, I also don't blame you.
Okay.
I wanted to plug a podcast for the holiday season. It's called We're Dead. And it's an improv podcast based off of the premise that the hosts host a cable access TV show in the afterlife.
Mm.
And so it sounds kind of like kitschy, I guess, but yeah. Like meaning they can have guests, you know, anywhere from like, I don't know, a person who lives next door who ended up dying or like any celebrity from history who's dead. So it kind of like casts a wide net. And that's usually what they do. They have somebody who's like, quote unquote, famous as like the first guest and then like a normal person for the second one. Like the episode I'm listening to now, they have Jesus's ex-girlfriend that got written out of the Bible. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun enough to listen to. I'm, you know, exploring new podcasts because I have too much time on my hands to think about things.
Okay. Well, guys, on that note, call us at 570-POD-1-1 if you have any topics you'd like to request or to tell me what you think about The Shining.
Or spooky Halloween stories that you never call us with.
Oh, yeah. Or you could email us at
YallHeardPod@gmail.com.
And as always, you could slide into my DMs at Riss Vandal. If you are a Patreon subscriber, you should have gotten my zine by now. If you haven't, please let us know. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening, guys. And
Hey, bye. Huh. You're great, listener. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.